Okay, welcome, everybody. Sorry about the lack of enough chairs. Weren't expecting this. In any case, welcome to the first meeting, January 24, the Marysville Board of Education. And we're already have been in session since 5 o'clock, so we can skip a few things, but we'll go right to Pledge Allegiance at this point. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, and on that, we're going to go out of order just a little bit, the adoption, and we're going to go directly to the recognition of the STEM Solutions exemplars. Maybe I should have given you some warning, huh?
And if the board members want to go down to the front. Okay. So in October of this year, the school year, at ECHS, we spent an entire day where we had community members and business leaders come into our building, and our students listened as those community members presented authentic problems that they face in their building or in their business, challenges, and different things that are actually happening in this community that need solutions. Our students then ran through the design cycle for the next few months. They identified, they planned, they created, and they communicated authentic solutions. So they worked incredibly hard. In December, those community members and business leaders came back and listened to our students present back their solutions to them. In the course of that, those community members and business leaders had to fill out a rubric and give feedback to our students. The students that you see here represent the best of the best, as identified by community members and by teacher leaders in the building. So these students truly exemplified our habits of mind, of flexibility, outside-the-box thinking, resilience, collaboration, communication, empathy, and self-sufficiency. They proposed amazing solutions. They presented professionally. And I am just really grateful that you guys have given me the opportunity to recognize them here today. So as I call them out, I'm going to call out their groups and then let you know what problem they tackled. Nicole Kirk, Sabrina Kaufman, you guys want to come down. Margot Osting, who I think is wrestling right now, so is not here. They tackled the problem presented by Marysville City Engineering Department. Due to rising demands of our customers, this is from engineering, the city is considering encouraging water conservation efforts to reduce unnecessary water usage. Water conservation is a practice of preserving, controlling, and managing resources. This initiative is extremely important nationwide because fresh, clean water is a limited resource and should not be taken for granted. The final deliverable should include an infographic demonstrating the students' most feasible solution and the anticipated results. So, thank you. Excellent job. All right. Next, and we're going to have a few here on this one, Danica Doran. Yeah. Olivia Yacali. Catherine Collins. Cameron McGlenn. Addison Ari. Alexis Corbett. Emily Clayton. Ayla Powell. Kendall Hicks. Kayla Rogers. Kendall Giles. Brooklyn Corbin. Brinley Bausch. Lizzie Brown. Mallory Michael. And Claire Wireman. This group proposed solutions to Memorial Sports Medicine. They said, Memorial Sports Medicine said they often see 150 patients in a day, and it's extremely busy. They want to give their patients the best care possible, which means we need a clean, presentable working space and assistance with the flow of patient care. How can we utilize our student volunteer program to assist to give therapists time to simply work with the patients? What should onboarding and volunteers look like? How do we keep the volunteers engaged in the tasks asked of them? And they presented an excellent solution. So thank you. All right, our next group actually worked in conjunction with Dublin City Schools and Emerald Campus and Drive Ohio so I'll call up first, sorry, Ben Jones, Arav Bhagat, Alex Noakes, and Lincoln Walker. There you go. Yes. Alex, you got the number. Congratulations. The problem that they conquered and tackled was how can we improve transportation safety in our communities using data and sensor technology? So they worked with the smart intersections. Thanks. Excellent. Good job. Next, we have Georgia Ari, Hannah Broffman, Kayla Ellington, Jacob Weigand, Becca Diley, Thomas McClelland, and Andrew Montgomery, who I don't believe are here, but they tackled the heart of unlimited boundaries and did an incredible job. Oh, you are here. There you are. Sorry, guys. I went too fast. All right. So, Jacob. Okay, there you go, sir. All right. Thomas. All right, so they developed a target that incorporates a kindergarten through third grade educational aspects such as colors, numbers, et cetera. Instead of just asking the individual to aim at a generic target, the participants would be instructed to aim at the red target or aim at two numbers and the target equal five, and they were creative. So this was serving students with disabilities and youth with disabilities. So they were able to play and learn at the same time. They created something pretty special. So congratulations, guys. Okay, next we have Lauren Waterman, Ava Jackson, Avery Dundon, Maggie Faust, Dakota McKee, Penelope Herring, May Archie, and Leah Gross. They worked with the Union County Foundation to plan and create a fundraising event for the foundation, with the objective of the event to raise funds for the foundation operations and advancement of the foundation with a budget of $20,000. So, awesome job, guys. Sorry. All right. I'm so sorry. Leah, thank you. I'm so sorry, Leah. Here, Dakota. There you go. Penelope. She's not here. All right. Where is Leah? I can't see yours. I'm so sorry, you guys. There you are. Awesome job. Sorry, guys. Okay. Our next group is River Tornberg, Isabel Bennett, Natalie Bartlett, Madison Sirwell, William Rose, Tyler Markovich, Gracie Taylor, Elise Thompson, Elizabeth Light. There you go. Come on now. Well, there you go. Tyler. There you go, sir. Taylor. Elizabeth Light, Claire Roccazella, Eliana Borjas. All right. They tackled the problem from the Marysville Library. How can we increase teen involvement at the library? Help us design a space for teens to feel comfortable and work with the Teen Advisory Board to plan spaces and possibly events. So, awesome job. The next one is for Marysville community, and it was community leaders who were helping to raise money for the levy. So it was Riley McGlone, Logan Acker, Madison Rausch, Vivian Moser, Caitlin Stover, Samuel Rojas Guerrero, Christian Edelman. Come on up, guys. Riley. Mary. Natalie's not here. Logan. Madison. No, what's your name? Vivian. I'm so sorry, you guys. Vivian. Okay. Gabriel Fulchert, Ethan Kiefer, Ashlyn Seaholm. All right, Gabriel. There you go. Ethan. There you go, sir. Misa Jones. Hi. There you go. Eric Shaw, Reagan Cook, and Haley Davis. So they came up with proposals for the local school district has a levy for new funding on the ballot. You've been selected to head up the campaign. How do you communicate the district needs effectively and resonate with a community where new taxes are not supported? So excellent job. Thanks, guys. All right, next up is Kelsey Altizer, Tyler Dotry, Rocco Marchetti, Caitlin Colopeo, and Avery Davis. Come on down. Did I say it right? No, I'm so sorry. How do you say your last name? Capello. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Awesome job. All right, they tackled for the Marysville Police Department. How do you respond to a false report that is posted about your agency? And that came from a real life incident that happened over the summer. So excellent job, guys. Thank you. Right, and last but not least, we have Drew Roden, Reese Andrews, Emma Pope, and Gracie Pope. Again, we have a wrestler who couldn't be here. So they tackled the problem from the Union County Health Department, which was, how do we create a Union County that is more walkable and bikeable? So excellent job. All right, thank you guys so much. This group of students is truly exceptional. So it's a real honor to be their principal. Thanks.
Mr. Keck and board, it's my pleasure to also recognize one of our employees tonight, Tom Powers. If you would come forward, please. Those of you who know Tommy, he's a pretty humble individual and is mortified to be here tonight and be recognized. So it's my privilege to highlight that Tom recently passed, it's a certification of Technology Education Leader Award program. He is one of 700 people globally that have successfully completed this certification. So we're super proud he's part of our staff and certainly a huge asset to our staff and students. Congratulations, Tommy. Congratulations. That's all of our recognitions this evening.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to go back to following the agenda at this point in time. So I need a motion to adopt the agenda as written.
So moved.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we adopt the agenda and follow it from here on out. my fault. Anyway, we need a roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes. Okay. And the next thing, I believe, is Employee of the Month. And so, let you go from here.
We do a motion.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we do need a motion to accept Nurse Jackie Lewis as Employee of the Month.
So moved.
And I need a second.
A second.
Been properly moved and seconded that we recognize Employee of the Month, nurse at the middle school, Jackie Lewis.
And Jackie was not able to be here this evening, so it's my privilege to read the comments that her peers have submitted in order for her to be recognized. This is Jackie's first year working for Marysville Schools. She is wonderful. She keeps a neat and clean, sanitized clinic for all of our staff and students. Jackie is very dedicated and gives 100% every workday. She keeps a level head in any medical emergencies. We are very blessed to have Jackie Lewis as the Bunzold nurse. Jackie is new to the building. She has been a welcome addition to BMS. She is friendly, patient, professional, and loves the Cleveland Browns. Jackie is new to Bunzold, but you think she's been here for years. She is proactive with the care of the kids at BMS, and she is great about communicating issues. She also works great with SmartPass so we can keep all track of all of our students. She is very friendly and all the students speak well of her. Happy to nominate her for Employee of the Month. Jackie continuously works very well with the students at BMS. She is new this year, but she has acclimated to the building seamlessly. She also has great rapport with students. Jackie is new to BMS, that's a common theme, and is a wonderful addition to our family. She is kind, helpful, caring, and does an amazing job with our students. We are so happy to have her. Jackie is brand new to our building this year, and yet it seems like she's been here forever. She fits right in and is super personable. She makes the students feel safe and cared for, and she doesn't shy away from the messy situations she has to encounter on a daily basis. Bunzold Middle School is lucky to have Jackie here. And the last submission is Jackie is always pleasant and is always willing to help in whatever way she can, whether it is with a sick student or a medical question, and doing it with a warm and welcoming smile as well. So congratulations to Jackie.
So now we need a roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Yes. And now we're up to public participation.
No sign-ups,
okay. So the next part is a presentation from the Marysville High School National Business and Honor Society.
You guys can just stand. Hello everyone, my name is Neil Patel and you've probably seen me around at the business events as I am your MBHS Vice President. There you go. As the business department, we wanted to highlight one of our newest additions to our MHS business department, NBHS. NBHS stands for National Business Honor Society. Our first chapter was last year, a short-lived chapter but a good one to learn from with a total of 31 members. Our current chapter consists of 38 members. As we keep learning from this department, we keep loving it. Last year, we had many guest speakers, some notable ones being the Vice President of Development and Manufacturing of America, Mr. Curtis Thompson. He proceeded to show us how team works, teamwork in business, and how they can work on a project together, and how some people may show different points and concerns, and they can all come together on a large project. Later following Mr. Thompson, we had Mr. Matt Stifler, the CFO and the Director of Finance for the City of Dublin. Mr. Stifler described the ins and outs of budgeting of a city and how this can be very applicable to our local business and homes. Continuing this and ending our year off, we had our local State Farm agent, Brittany Freeman. Mrs. Freeman showed the process of first starting her own agency and the struggles she went through. She also proceeded to show us the struggles that COVID had on her starting a business and the foundations of starting an agency of her own. Yes, these guest speakers came from MBHS, but it was open to all business members and all business department personnel. The members that were able to get just as much exposure as the MBHS members. One of our big goals this chapter was to start a newsletter, and now we are making that happen. In your guys' little booklets, you guys have our two latest newsletters, November's and December's, if you guys want to go ahead and open them up. They look around the same. This one up here is our December's, and you guys can flip through it while I'm talking, and you guys can look through. But in the newsletter, we have our student recognition and our impressive senior. The student recognition is to show an outperforming student and to show that what they have accomplished. In the December one, I believe it was Reese. And then in this year's, I do not know off the top of my head. The impressive senior is directed towards a senior shown what they have done for themselves and their future. I think this one, the most recent one, was Zach Stram. We also have our business spotlight, spotlighting a local business or a business in Central Ohio that has assisted the chapter of MBHS in the past or currently. The newsletter also highlights things we've done around the school and the community. We helped with eighth grade tours and providing a good resource for them when they need help with, there's a few pictures in the back of the booklet there. And then we also have all of our sponsors in the back of the booklet at the complete end. A lot of this wouldn't have happened without the help of our business department, which does a lot for the students of MBHS. Here's your sponsorship, and here's our super senior and our highlight. Sorry, I completely forgot to flip. I know. The business department offers lots of help and experiences with the large variety of classes we offer, some being listed behind, in front of me, in front of you guys, and in the booklet. There's another booklet in there, and it has all of our course, and it's basically a course description book. These courses begin with a few introductory classes like keyboarding and computer applications that lead to more and more classes, even certificates throughout the year, and these certificates are very applicable to our real world, I believe. These certificates consisting of accounting, finance, foundations of business, office specialist, and general of business. And these certifications have personally helped me through my other college courses as well. And that's just me, but I know these guys right here have also found that very helpful, being able to use those classes in other ways than just learning the material, just to learn it and just to get a grade. I use PowerPoint to make this. I use it to share and help James in the back over there get it to him. These are very useful classes to me, I believe. They're very useful. They're very applicable. These certifications allow us students to be certified in the areas that most workplaces recommend and require for some positions. Each of these certifications lead to other opportunities like internships in our department. Local businesses that we work with can also help us get these internships through the summer and throughout the school year. Mrs. Burns and Mrs. Gordon, who can't be with us today, not a bad way, but she can't be with us today, and they do a great job in assisting us to get out there and help us receive the internship. We also like to work with our community, and we actually have recently implemented a 2-hour per month community service. And these community service can be anything from helping around the school, helping the janitors, helping the teachers, helping some teachers print things, and even just going out. And I know we had something at Edgewood. We helped Edgewood mulch for a little bit. There were some opportunities out there. There was the Northwood Santa's Workshop, which I had a few fellow classmates come out and help out. And we also take our sponsorships and make them almost equal to 2 hours. Because we are helping a local business in some way with our business spotlight through the newsletter, or we're just helping them get recognition in another way. Thank you. Any questions, any concerns?
I'd just like to say thank you. That was a great presentation.
Thank you.
Great newsletters.
Thank you.
I don't have any concerns, but I'm a big fan of the business department. Congratulations on all you do. I'm excited to see that you guys added QuickBooks onto your certification.
Yep.
My son attended all the business classes, and he learned so much. It's been very helpful for him all through college and then into the workforce.
Thank you. Anything else?
No, I would just add, I love that community service part, and we need to brag on that a little bit more, and there's nothing better than giving back to a community that's invested in you, and so keep that up. I love that.
Another thing that just like popped in my head and one of these guys mentioned was the teachers there, they actually look at our, like what we're taking and how far we are in the classes that we're taking, and they'll set us up for other classes that they think will be best for us. So I personally am working towards an associate's degree, and I have Ben here, he's also working towards it, and neither of us would have known about it unless we had Mrs. Burns or Mrs. Gordon being like, hey, you guys are going towards this, you guys wanna keep going? And then we were like, yeah. And it's just a wonderful environment to us, all of us, and I know all these guys can agree. It's just, it's a wonderful, very welcoming environment, and they do care, they really do. And I know that sounds very petty and very, very like cliche, but that's just how it is, and that's just how I think of it, and I thought you guys should know.
I've been very impressed with our business department for a long time. And I've really been impressed in the last few years about how quickly and agilely the business department has reorganized, reinvented itself to meet the needs of you as students, but also meet the needs of potential employers, businesses, manufacturers, and corporations in our community and throughout Central Ohio. And it is a testament to that process that is ongoing that you're standing there saying, I'm hopeful to graduate with an associate degree and be able to go into the workforce and have a list of credentials as long as my arm that I can present to an employer and say, these are the things that I'm capable of doing. And I am so proud of everything you guys have accomplished and will accomplish, because things are just starting for you. And I'm also very proud of our teachers and our administrators that have had the incentive, the creativity, to seek out and to build a program that you're really being able to take advantage of. None of us get through life by ourselves, and everything gets built on those that came before us. And the people that are around you have built a great platform from which you can launch your careers. So congratulations to you, congratulations to all our teachers and administrators. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have reports, and Steve sent me a email, and he said their organizational meeting, or not organizational, but their meeting is next week after ours, so he had nothing really to add there. And he also suggested that we go on a quarterly presentation from himself, and I didn't see any problem with that. He said he would come in if there's anything that really affected us, you know, earlier. So expect to see him quarterly at this point in time. And now the superintendent's report.
Perfect, thank you. A few updates. Calamity Day number one was this week. We had our first weather-related cancellation. As a reminder, online learning takes place on our fourth weather-related event. So hopefully we're not on the cusp of one tonight, but we're on the lookout. Current enrollment, PK through 12, is 5633. We're up 108 students from January of last year. We did send an update with several positions on Friday that we still have currently open. I thought I'd talk a bit about the nave and principal opening. We hope to have a recommendation to the board by April. We have a process in place. It's already posted. I think we've received about 7 applicants to date. So we'll be working through that process over the next couple months. Last night, we had our first transportation task force meeting led by Mr. Langhouse and Mr. Walker. We had 20 of 27 respondents attend the meeting. The working group is really looking at time. They're looking at the school day, the school calendar, routing, scheduling, and really is the approach is from a design mindset. So they're kind of looking at what are their barriers and challenges and trying to work on some variations of a schedule. So their next meeting is scheduled for January 31st. Let's Talk. We've identified over 60 members of our community, invited them in next week. We're going to discuss our district facts and finances and communications and work with this group moving into the spring to help spread our message and factual information about the district. And that's it for tonight.
Okay, and I guess we're up to the board president's report. I have a very short one. We had coffee.
We got the treasurer's report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Skip the treasurer's report.
That'd be
order of the day.
You knew I had a bunch of facts and figures I was going to put up there. Try to skip it. You got that up there, James. Okay, so for my report, I'm going to give a update on. So we just recently received new values and tax rates. Our annual values and tax rate update from the county auditor. There were some interesting numbers in there, and I use the word interesting loosely, but I'm just going to go through some of this information for you, and I can send this to you if you want to look at it a little in more in detail. So the first thing to show is our residential effective tax rates for 2024. Those came in, so I give a comparison to show. Man, my eyes are getting bad seeing that up here. So you can see I broke it down by operating, permanent improvement, and bond fund. So you can see very little change, which is what we would expect in a non-reevaluation year. So the millage went down just slightly, which is going to be the impact of House Bill 920. So as there were some slight increases in valuation, that's going to bring the effective tax rate down. You can see our operating millage is down to 20.114 with 20 mills being the minimum per state law. Based on historically what we would see, most likely 2026 will probably hit the 20 mill floor unless there's a significant change next year. And then also I should note the bond millage, that 5.85. Bond mills are not subject to House Bill 920, so those are actually basically calculated by the county auditor. County auditor looks at what is our debt, you know, what is our cash balance, how much revenue do we need to cover our debt, and so the bond millage will be set based on basically the needs of our debt. Next, looking at our commercial effective tax rates, those actually went up just slightly. Again, not enough to really have an impact on the forecast, but you can also see that our commercial effective tax rate is significantly higher than residential. So in total, residential was 29.4 through all funds, whereas for commercial, it's actually 54.2. That's due to the impact of House Bill 920, and we've seen much more residential growth in the community than what we've seen in commercial. And then finally, we have I'm showing our voted tax rate. So the reason I'm showing our voted tax rate is the public utility personal property tax values, or PUP tax, as it's called. Those taxpayers actually pay at the full voted rate. Okay, so our full voted millage is 64.27. For our operating millage is 47.86. So those are really high numbers. And again, because of House Bill 920, our residential taxpayers are only paying, like I said, the 29 mills in total, whereas the voted rate is at 64.27. So why that's important is it applies to our values. So we also had our update for the total values for 2023. So you can see class one, which is our residential and agricultural values. Those increased by $19.5 million up to $850 million for 2023. Class two, that's our commercial values or our business taxpayers. That was an increase of $2.9 million, so that's up to $198 million now. And then those PUP taxes, That was a significant increase and an unexpected increase of $17 million. So that's up to a total of $138 million now. And for those of that don't know what pub values are, that is basically public utilities. So you're going to have like railroads, AEP, URE, electric lines, those kinds of things. That's what makes up those values. So our total valuation for 2023 increased by $39 million. So total right now is $1.187 million. Also, you know, since we're talking a lot about levies, when you think about a mill, you can right now it makes the math relatively easy since our valuation is a little over $1 billion. Take that times one mill. One mill would equate to a little over $1 million of revenue. So it's kind of easy math right now. So as I mentioned, the PUP value is going up significantly. That's unexpected. You look at previous increases, they've been, you know, relatively small compared to that 2023 really kind of jumps out. Back in 2014, we did have a very significant increase that year into 15. So we went from $67 million up to $102 in that year. And that's actually, you know, when you look at some of the factors as to how we were able to stay off of the ballot for 15 years, that PUP tax is, you know, one piece of that, because that was a very significant increase that led to an increase in revenue. So, you know, the real question is, you know, what is the impact of that? Why is that so important? So if you look at that increase in our PUP tax values, that $17 million increase, and as I noted, they're paying, those public utilities pay at the full voted rate. So that full voted rate on the operating millage side is 47.86 mils. So you take that $17 million increase times 47.86 mils, that equals $813,000 of revenue. Okay, so that's $800,000 of revenue that was not projected in the five-year forecast. So that's essentially new revenue that you could be used to reduce the levy ask. In essence, the last time we looked at this, we were looking at, we needed around 5.5 mils. You throw that $800,000 into the forecast, you now could potentially decrease the ask to potentially below 5 mils, if that's how we wanted to use that. Another way to look at it, if you look at the total PUP valuation, $138 million, and you take that times, let's just for easy math, we'll do 5 mils of a potential levy, that equates to just under $700,000. So there's a lot of talk of income tax versus property tax, and there's definitely pros and cons to each. You know, one of the pros, when you look at a potential property tax, would be this public utility personal property tax. So that $700,000 is the amount that the public utility personal property taxpayers would be paying on that 5 mil levy. So essentially, that's $700,000 that our local taxpayers don't have to pick up, because that would be covered by those utility companies. Or essence, if you look at it in terms of the total levy, that's probably around 13% of the total taxes, new taxes needed, being covered by the public utility companies. Any questions on that before I move on to the next? Okay, so just a couple other factors to note, since we're looking at you know, some changes that are to the forecast since we last looked at it. So another issue that's happening right now, we just found out that the city just filed to add Kenmore Place Apartments into the Coleman's Crossing TIF. Why that's important, we've currently been collecting the full tax rate for those Kenmore Place apartments. If this gets approved, and likely would be approved, we would then begin only receiving 47% of the revenue, and that would be a loss annually of over $100,000. But also, with that application, the city would actually claw back a couple years to revenues that we'd received in prior year and take that revenue back as well. So it would have a significant impact. And currently, the Kenmore Place apartments have 53 students that we're educating. Along those same lines, you may have seen, if you shop at Meijer, across the road from Meijer, there's another some building going up, and that's actually going to be another apartment complex that would also be in that commercial TIF. So it would be another basically residential building that would be part of a commercial TIF, meaning that the school district wouldn't get the full revenue for that value. And along those same lines as well, there's some potential additional residential areas that would become TIFed. There's the Wilcox, which is across from Benny's, all of those multi-unit buildings there, and as well as the old Kroger Plaza that's been talked about a couple years ago. So some additional residential properties that would potentially be TIFed. You know, the board in the past has they passed a resolution showing their opposition to apartments that are being TIFed. From a legal standpoint, the city considers apartments as commercial, but functionally and from a school district standpoint, they're residential. The TIFs for apartments, they reduce our revenue at the same time increasing our enrollment. The original intent of the commercial TIF at Coleman's Crossing and City Gate was to incentivize business growth and to bring jobs to the area. Abusing the TIF burdens the school and other local governments with increased expenditures and decreased revenues. You know, the school is not the only entity impacted by these TIFs. There's other local governments that receive property taxes and also provide services to those residents that would lose revenues as well. And ultimately, with TIFs in this type of case, it causes other taxpayers to pick up the tab. So, for example, you know, we're looking for a levy. If we're, you know, losing over $100,000 there, we've got to pick it up somewhere, and that's where it ends up falling on other taxpayers. That's all I have.
Do you happen to know what the name, or at least temporary name, is of the apartment complex going in next to Walmart?
I do not.
Okay, I just thought maybe somebody might.
Okay, now my report. Hate to follow all that, geez. That's why. Anyway, what I want to say is I had a coffee Sunday, and we'll turn that over to Nan to tell us how that went.
Okay, so we had the first coffee of 2024. We had it at the Chestnut new...
this facility.
Yeah, facility. No one came. It was 9 degrees out, so maybe that kept people away. But we are going to be having a coffee the Sunday before the Thursday board meeting. So every board meeting is the third Thursday of the month. So the Sunday before the board meeting is when the coffee will be happening. So anybody from the public's welcome to come, and we're looking at putting together a group of kind of mini presentations about facts about the district that we can use at the coffees coming up in the future.
And I'd just like to say, you know, if you don't want to come to a board meeting and express your thoughts, it's a lot less formal and you know, get to know us, and also we can hear your complaints and or praises, either way. So. Secondly, we have a board meeting, small group meeting with the city. The next meeting is on 2/22, and as far as I know, Mr. Smith and I are commissioned to be there at that one. At the last meeting, the most important discussion I think that came out of that was a possibility of the city paying per pupil, difference per pupil, coming out of apartment complexes. We'll see where that goes in future meetings. Sounds promising right now, but we'll have to see what happens there. The levy committee is meeting regularly, and I think that's it on my report. So now we're up to student achievement report.
I don't think I have anything to share.
Okay. And then a legislative report.
Yes, there's no formal report given tonight, but OSBA did send out, if you've received in your email, their legislative report, so please review that. A full report will be sent out next month from myself. I can continue for safety as well. Safety, no report, but obviously the big news is with the legalization of recreational marijuana. The governor had a press conference yesterday. The Drug Free Coalition is also looking at ways to make sure we keep students safe. There's obviously, we've talked about the Delta 9 products, but also, you know, recreational uses of marijuana. Accessibility is a concern. You know, using it in public spaces is a concern. So just keep an eyes out for different legislative initiatives or policy initiatives in those areas. That's all I have.
Okay. And now I need a motion to approve the draft minutes from the prior meeting.
So moved.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we approve the draft minutes from the previous meeting. Is there any discussion? And we're ready for a roll call on that.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes. And the next thing we have would be a resolution to approve drawings and an estimate of costs for the chiller replacement at Creekview Intermediate School. And as I understand, we've already done some of that. So is there a motion?
I move that we pass a resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded that we pass this resolution. And as I understand it, this is just to get a bid on putting the equipment in.
Correct. So we've already, due to timing and the long lead times and getting this type of project done nowadays, so we've already done the bids for the equipment. So this is just approval to put out bids for the actual installation of the equipment.
Okay. Any discussion?
And that'll take place this summer?
That is the goal.
And second point is that the Japanese school that's currently at Creekview will have to be moved to Mill Valley, is that correct, for the summertime because of no AC available.
And one other point is that the funds for the installation and the funds for the purchase are out of permanent improvement and not out of operations.
Correct.
Any other discussion? Okay, we're ready for a vote.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes. And now we're on approval for resolution of the OSBA policy work, and that's quite extensive, but I need a motion for that.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I second.
As I understand it, that is mainly because of the elimination of the ODE and just a whole bunch of name changing in there, bunch of work created.
That's correct.
So it's a comprehensive review of all of our policy based on the changes from Ohio Department of Education to Ohio Department of Education and Workforce Development. This is will cost the district nothing additional. It's part of our contract with OSBA to do policy review for the district.
Any further discussion? Okay, we're ready for a vote.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes. And 11.3, I'm not sure what we're referring to here.
So be a one read policy only to really in regards to medical marijuana. So we already have policy across the district, but this would be inclusive of use in on our campuses and et cetera.
Yeah, in the policy, the addition is that no person is permitted to distribute, dispense, possess, or use any narcotic drug, hallucinogenic drug, amphetamine, barbiturate, marijuana, alcohol, or any other controlled substances defined in state and in and or in federal law in a school building or upon the campus or grounds at any time. So it kind of goes toward what Mr. Ferguson's report was calling for.
Is there a motion to accept this policy?
Go ahead.
So moved.
And I'll second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion on the policy? Okay, let's take a vote on that.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes. And now we need a motion to approve the OPC Memorandum of Understanding.
So moved.
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded that we approve the OPSE or OAPSE a memorandum of understanding with the current extension. Is there any discussion on that?
As you know, we approved a contract extension for teaching staff and sports staff. This is bringing transportation online. We discussed that at that time. We were able to reach an agreement with unanimous approval from the bus driver and transportation department. So this contract extension would last until 2025, spring of 2025.
Great. Any discussion?
Just kind of repeating what Diane just said, I know there were some questions. Why weren't we doing something with school bus drivers? I know we had a conversation at one of the Sunday coffees about what we were going to do, and we weren't at liberty to discuss a lot of the details that were going on. But this has been in the works for some time to try to do something, and I'm hopeful that this makes a significant change to the finances of our bus drivers, as well as their working conditions and attendance and all the other things that have been critical problems for us at the start of the year.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, we're ready for a vote.
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes. And now we're down to approve the treasurer's action items. You have any?
Yes.
Okay.
So a couple updates. One, I would note on the cash flow, for the most part, things are running on track. The one highlight for December was we did receive a dental insurance premium holiday that saved the district a little over $50,000, so that was some good news. On the appropriations, I would note the increase to the food service fund. I think that was around $85,000. We actually just a few weeks ago, we received an email from the basically the federal government that gives us a lot of subsidies for our food service program. And basically saying that they're going to be reducing those subsidies, which means that we're going to have to pay more out of pocket to be able to serve the same lunches that we've been serving. So that's why you're seeing that increase. There's been a lot of discussion back and forth with when that email came out. So I did see an interesting fact, and this may be a dated number. It was a couple years old, but at that time it said there were around 420 districts out of a little over 610 in the state that operate a food service program in the red, meaning that the general fund or tax dollars have to subsidize that food service fund. So we're one of a relatively small number where our food service fund has been self-sufficient, meaning there's no general fund or tax dollars being used to subsidize it.
I assume we'll still be self-sufficient after this.
That is the goal. The number is not enough to cause any major concerns at the moment, but keep an eye on it.
Okay. Do we need a motion on that?
Yes.
Okay.
So moved.
I second.
We've got a motion and a second to approve the treasurer's action items. Any discussion that we haven't had?
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes. And now we're down to the superintendent's action items.
I would just highlight two portions of that. Tammy Molesky, who served the district for 22 years, will be retiring. And also Sherry Bowserman, who is currently in our Alt-K position, will be retiring after 26 years. So wish them the best of luck.
Do we have to approve those retirements, I assume?
Maybe not.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second.
Been properly moved and seconded of the superintendent's action items, which include two retirements. Is there any discussion?
I will add my thanks to those that are retiring and wish them well in their retirement. I know they've done yeoman work for our school district and the Alt-K program. Sherry was able to start that and build a program that fills a real need for some of our youngest students. So,
any further discussion? We're ready for a vote.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Yes. And then we have approval of volunteers for the 23-24 school year. And oh, I'm sorry.
Those are all done. The
13.12. Oh, it, okay. Good, good. Love that. Superintendent's other action items.
So we have some early grads listed there, as well as interns and student teachers, several school trips, student trips. I'd like to remind you on each one of those approvals, when you look at that sheet, it explains to you who's paying for the trip, if operating dollars are going to the trip. None of the trips posted tonight are paid for by district funds. They're all either by support funds or by the families for those trips.
Do we have a motion to support that?
So moved.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we support these items, mainly field trips that are listed. Any discussion?
Yeah, these a number of these are involved with student groups that are competing in competitions. And I know as our students look back on their high school careers, these become high points of their journey through the school system. And the opportunity to be able to go and compete against students from other states in on a national stage or on a larger statewide stage is, I think, a tremendous asset for our students. There is one trip to Costa Rica and Panama, and international trips. We've had in the past trips to Spain and France, trips to Japan. And so for the opportunity for our students to be able to go and visit internationally, to see and experience other cultures, and to have just an incredible time. I really appreciate the advisors that are setting this up and doing all the legwork to try to make this happen for our students.
Okay, we're ready for a vote on that.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes. And now we're to comments, it looks like. Well, is there others more, Superintendent?
Nope, that's
good. Comments from the board members. We'll start down there with Mr. Smith. The only thing that I would ask is that we try to limit these to 3 minutes, since we do that with the public also.
The report that we got mentioned that at Edgewood, they got their third grade English language arts, and those came back significantly higher. And the staff and students are really proud of their accomplishments. Navin had a Holidays Around the World, and again, that's as our student population becomes more diverse, understanding the different cultures that are now housed in our buildings, I think, is very significant. There's a book that I'm reading that is also being implemented. Some of the ideas out of that book are being implemented at Bunsold. I was glad to see that. I'm looking forward to a great year. I'm really excited for our district leadership because they now have a building that is providing them space to be able to do the work. And I think it is a very conducive environment for collaborative work and innovation. So well done.
Mr. Keller.
I don't have a lot to say. I'm excited to be joining this year and look forward to serving our community.
Great.
Yeah. I'd just like to say thank you to all the students and parents that came from the STEM Solution presentations, and also to the National Business Honor Society for their presentation. Congratulations to Tom Powers. I know he doesn't want to hear his name one more time, but there it is. That's very impressive that he's been able to reach that level of certification.
I don't have much to say. The only thing I as we're talking tonight, I saw a comment on a Facebook forum of a parent wanting to find a way to recognize a teacher that was impactful for their students. And I think maybe if there's a way for us as a district to open up, I know we recognize employees, but if there's a way for us to get some feedback from parents who want to recognize, many people said, you know, talk to the principal, talk to the district central office, but maybe if we set something up where parents can nominate a teacher or someone in the buildings that are impactful to them, that would be helpful to get those good stories up to the district and out in our community. That's all I have tonight.
Nothing to add.
Okay, and I have nothing to add that I haven't already said or blundered through. So we need a motion to adjourn.
We're headed into executive session.
Oh, that's right. We'll be headed into executive session here shortly thereafter, so we won't adjourn here. We'll be adjourning from the executive session.
And there will be no action coming out of executive session.
Right. And
the purpose for the executive session?
Well, let's see here. Yeah, the number, let's see here, 121.22 of the Ohio Revised Code to consider confidential information relating to marketing plans, specific business strategy, trade secrets, or personal financial statements of applicants for economic development assistance. So we're now adjourned to the, we need a motion to go into executive session, I'm sorry.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.